Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it has Friday and the week has just flown by live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We had these little fun playing games. They were adorable. Now, this weekend, this is when reality sets in. Now's the pressure. Now's the good teams. Now's the high-seeded teams. None of the playing game stuff. That stuff's over. That was adorable.
Well, we got one more.
Oh, well, do we? Which one's that?
We got Warriors Grizzlies, so we have one more.
Is that tonight?
Yes.
All right. Probably Warriors probably win that one.
Joy Taylor, Saturday, of course. Starts. Heat Bucks.
Anyway, this will be a very exciting weekend. So, Joy, I always believe this. Everybody's a nice guy in comfort. Everybody's a nice guy when your kid's hitting home runs in Little League. Judge people also how they act in crisis. How they act when they don't get their own way. Judge people on that too. Because everybody's a nice guy when everything goes their way. Things get a little rough. That's when the truth comes out. The truth comes out when things don't go everybody's way. So there's two teams here fascinating. We got the Nets, Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie, Harden, Kevin Durant. They open up Saturday with the Celtics. They will roll through Boston. Boston doesn't have the size at the rim. KD will do whatever he wants. They don't have Jaylen Brown. They don't have enough juice offensively. It's going to be a 4 or 5 game series. And the media is going to fawn over Brooklyn. The points are going to come easy. The games mostly will be blowouts. Boston maybe wins a game. Everybody. Well, of course they'll be in a good mood. It will be easy. It is a massive talent disparity between the Celtics and Brooklyn. But then they're going to have to face, like, the Bucks. That'll be interesting. 6 or 7 game series. Little duress. Very physical team. Rim protector. Drew Holiday. PJ Tucker can be annoying. I want to see the three stars for Brooklyn in crisis. Because I've seen the big three in Brooklyn in crisis. Kyrie can flake. Harden can erode. KD can pout. And by the way, the coaches are Steve Nash, always underachieved in the playoff, and Mike D'Antoni, struggled in the playoff. First guy off the bench, sometimes starter Blake Griffin, struggled in the playoff. There are nothing but playoff ghosts all over this locker room, and you're not going to sense it against Boston. And let's be honest, for top offensive stars in this league, they rarely face discomfort in the NBA regular season. It's basically 28 points in 36 minutes on to Denver, rinse and repeat. The referees officiate it differently. They want to get out of town and go to the next game. They don't want a 3.5 hour game at the free throw line. They let guys play. The coaches view it as a marathon, not a sprint. They don't want to offend or alienate their star players in the regular season. I mean, a fifth of the NBA is tanking by the end of the season. The media is barely paying attention. But just wait in about 10 days, 2 weeks, Nets, Milwaukee. A lot of scrutiny, media watching, you watching, me watching, Joy watching, every possession. Rim protector, PJ Tucker, Drew Holiday are physical, annoying, in your ribs, in your airspace, guys. The coaches now get louder. They demand more because coaches in the NBA don't win playoff series. They get run. They get ripped. D'Antoni doesn't need another bad playoff series. Steve Nash, rookie coach. We start saying against Milwaukee, they're down 2-0. Nash is over his skis. Oh, here comes Harden again. Kyrie's a flake, and the world's watching. So I can't wait to watch Brooklyn after the Boston series. The Boston series is going to be nothing but comfort. Kevin Durant's going to do whatever he wants. Jason Tatum's going to play fine, but he has no shot. They just don't have the ammo. Here's the other team. So let's shift to the Clippers. So the Clippers start tomorrow against Dallas. I think they'll win the series, but I'm gonna pose a hypothetical to you. It's always worse when somebody you used to be with goes on and has success. I've often said this about divorces. I never root against anybody, but you don't want to see him have a much better life than you, right? What if Doc Rivers and Tobias Harris, the ex-Clippers, get to the finals? By the way, very, very possible. What happens if the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul upset the Lakers? Ooh. What if ex-Clipper Blake Griffin and the Nets end up doing really well? What if the Lakers, who share the same building in Montrezl Harrell, win? That's not great for the Clippers, right? I mean, we know Doc Rivers, Tobias Harris in the finals against the Lakers, who share the building in Montrezl Harrell. That ain't good for the Clippers. I think the Clippers are a tinderbox. I think the pressure on this team is crazy. And don't kid yourself, Russell Westbrook through the years, you don't think he saw and heard all the guys he used to play with have all this playoff success? And he's played 26 playoff games and he's won 8. Of course it matters after a while. Steve Ballmer is a very front-facing owner. He spent $2 billion on this team, $1.8 on a new arena, and that'll be major cost overruns because it's Los Angeles, and there's cost overruns on lunch. He's going to be $5, $6, $7 billion in. And you got Kawhi, a free agent after the year, Paul George coming off a horrible playoff last year, the team underachieved last year, the Lakers in the same building, here they come again. There is, to me, the Clippers, it is just, you ever walk into a room, it's like a budget meeting or something, or, you know, there's, you know, things aren't going well at the company, and you walk in, and it's just like, it's tight. Have you ever gotten a massage in your life, and the masseuse says, "Ooh, your shoulders, they're so tight." It's like, yeah, it's been a bad couple of weeks at work. It's been a lot of pressure. I feel like the Clippers, and I know you can't see this on radio, I feel like they're going into this playoffs with their shoulders up, and they're like, oh, God. I mean, they're not good late in games. Paul George was awful. They underachieved. Ballmer's paid a fortune. He's front-facing, so we know who he is. It'll be humiliating. And there are Clippers everywhere crushing. Chris Paul's an MVP candidate. Tobias Harris is having his best year, and Doc Rivers has apparently solved the chemistry issues overnight in Philadelphia. Montrezl Harrell now for the Lakers, their favorite to get to the title. Blake Griffin ends up on the most talented threesome in the league. I mean, there are Clippers everywhere in this league. Some of them are going to succeed. And I just think as Ballmer's watching television, you know, money's going out the door for the new arena, and Paul George is shooting 29% in the playoffs, and Kawhi has to miss a game. You know, we've all worked at different companies. Some are loose and fun, and some bosses are a little uptight. And this is not a shot at Ballmer, but he is a demanding boss, and right now he is sitting there. If you'd have told Ballmer when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George showed up to town, remember his press conference? He's hooting and hollering, and the Lakers were a mess. They were kind of a mess. Since then, the Lakers have won a title. They're favored to win a title. And the Clippers were the league's biggest meltdown last year. And Dallas is no fun to play because Luka is great late in games. And the Clippers so far, 2 years, have been terrible late in games. So Brooklyn, I want to check them out in 2 weeks. It'll be an easy 10 days for Brooklyn. It could get really tense. This Clipper organization may just need a masseuse in about 7-8 days because I have a it's going to be kablumo if it doesn't work. They're going to blow this thing up, and of course I'm here for it. So you know that I have historically been very fond of LeBron James. Can we stop with the I'm not 100%? Okay, stop, and I'll address that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Spa-like comfort. Save big on your water bill with Navien tankless water heaters. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. It is great to have you in. Another play-in game last night. Westbrook played under control. We predicted it. Wizards would win. They did comfortably. Not a shock. I'll take the Warriors, I guess, tonight. So there was a story yesterday, apparently, on a show called The Jump, where one of the broadcasters for another company came out and said, hey, I hear LeBron's playing on one leg. Okay. I'm over this. He's got a high ankle sprain. They can hurt. But LeBron's been playing now for 20 years. He's played 1,600 games. This is now your reality. This is the way it is. Like in the NFL playoffs, nobody's 100%. But I want to show you some video of LeBron James because I don't believe he's playing on one leg, and I think I have video to prove it.
Green trying to jam it. James and Drummond right there. James down the other end. Layup. Block. A foul. Count it. And one. James drives on Toscano-Anderson. Layup. Banks it home. James, two defenders on him. To Caldwell Pope inside. He's tied up by Green. Throws it back up top. James puts up the three. Oh, it's good. LeBron James from downtown. As the shot clock expires. A desperation heave. And the Lakers are up three.
I saw two good legs there. Those are not one-leg plays. LeBron's very good, and he's fine. This is a little drama. By the way, Joel Embiid wakes up hurt. Kawhi missed 20 games. KD, Harden, Bradley Beal. Younger guys are hurt. Tom Brady played this season with a bad knee, but Brady didn't talk about it during the season, although he admitted a few days ago, yeah, I had to get surgery.
I had pretty serious knee surgery this offseason, which is the first surgery I've had in about 12 years. So I was really interested to see how it was going to go because last year it just took a lot. Every week I was kind of tending to my knee and I thought I would love to see a season what it looks like when I can really focus on some other strength stuff that I want to do, some other technique stuff where I'm not just focused on protecting my knee all the time.
And Tom plays a sport in which people tackle you. Patrick Mahomes, it should be noted, got foot surgery after the Super Bowl. So both starting quarterbacks in the NFL, one got a foot surgery, one got a knee surgery. They didn't talk about it. Tiger Woods at Torrey Pines played with a fractured fibula. Justin Fields against Clemson got hit so hard, he appeared to crack ribs. He was back in two series later. Phillip Rivers once played in an AFC championship game with a torn ACL. Deshaun Watson had to take a bus this year to Jacksonville. He couldn't fly because he played with a partially collapsed lung. Drew Brees played multiple games with cracked ribs and a partially collapsed right lung. LeBron, it's a high ankle sprain. I watch your highlights. After 1,600 NBA games, many of them intense playoff games. This is just, you're never going to be 100%. Michael wasn't 100% when he came back from baseball. That's the reality. This is a tough league. It is travel. It is cardio. It is run. These are big bodies. But I don't want to hear about LeBron playing on one leg. You got Mahomes and Brady had major surgeries right after the season's over. And you know where LeBron's going to be after the season's over? The last 3 or 4 years, he'll be at the same place. I see him. He's at his pool in Beverly Hills. He's on a rubber ducky, and he's smiling and taking Instagram pictures, and he's going to have his beautiful family, and everybody's going to be happy, and it's a high ankle sprain. Joel Embiid wakes up hurt. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the Wizards secured the last spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs last night with a thrilling 142-115 win over the Pacers. I did watch this, although it was not quite as exhilarating as the rest of the play-in games.
By the way, did you see, Joy, we always talk, I've said this before, a seven-game first-round playoff series is insane. Mm-hmm. I like the NBA. It's hard. Steph LeBron, a play-in game, got 5.6 million viewers. That wasn't the high. That was the average. So the 5.6 million for a play-in game beats all but about eight college football games last year. Why do college football games matter? Because there's urgency. You lose, you're out of the title hunt. People will watch this league, but you got to give the audience a reason to watch it.
Oh. You mean people still like the NBA?
Yes, but you have to give
people
them...
People are still watching? Where do all the boycott people go?
Here's another one.
How quickly you gave up on that when there was an urgent game with stars in it.
Yes, and everybody says, well, you can't have a three-game first-round series because the good teams could lose. Well, if that's true, Joy, then why in March Madness when it's a one-game playoff? Does Duke and Kansas and Gonzaga and Villanova, they always make it to the final. The bottom line here is a three-game first-rounder. Yeah. I have to watch. It's better on the players' bodies. The only reason we don't have it, there's one reason. Billionaires are not willing to sacrifice $3 million gate. That's it. It would be so... Folks, do you know how big 5.6 million people to watch a play-in... It's basically a regular season, end-of-the-year game. 5.6 million. It got to 6.2 million. That's like only five college football games beat it all year.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me because basketball is awesome and it was a must-watch game. And once again, people are going to watch sports. So I guess the NBA is not too woke after all. Who knew? Anyway, Russell Westbrook had another triple-double, 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 15 assists. And Bradley Beal had a game-high 25 points. But now they get rewarded with the number one seed Sixers in the first round.
Not a good matchup.
It's not a good matchup, but no. I don't think that will be, to your point, a very long series.
Yeah, well, Ben Simmons is a tremendous defensive guard. The Sixers matchup very well with Washington, so it could be a really quick series.
We'll say, though, Washington had a pretty incredible turnaround this season. They were 17-32 before going on a 17-6 run to end the regular season. Yeah. So can't be happy with the season overall because of the way they started, but they finished strong. So they, you know, now they're in the playoffs, obviously against the Sixers, which is not a great matchup, but they should be overall pretty happy with the way that they ended their season. So the Bucks haven't lived up to expectations in the postseason recently. And Giannis was asked if he thinks this year will be any different, and he admitted he doesn't have the answer.
I don't know if this year is going to be different, Tim. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't say that. It might be the same. Who knows? We'll see. The results are going to talk for themselves at the end. But at the end of the day, it's like don't get too high, don't get too low. I feel like last year, probably because of the bubble, you know, wasn't able to get away from basketball, like losing a game and just going to the hotel and seeing the players that just beat you. You like got too low.
Boy, this is going to not now Milwaukee's not going to blow anything up if they lose, but they'll probably make a coaching change. And Miami, if you want to bet an underdog in the NBA playoffs, Miami is a great underdog bet. Because by the way, the last 2 years when Jimmy Butler plays, they win 64% of their games. Like that's top five in the NBA. So, like, Butler did not play against Milwaukee. I think he only played one game against Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Brooklyn combined. So, we really don't know what Miami is. And we know they have a great coach. Bam Adebayo's better. They generally, historically, have been a very good playoff team. This is a scary moment for Milwaukee. This is a bad opening draw.
I know we've talked a lot about how there's no pressure on Giannis in Milwaukee this year, but they've just kind of quietly gone through the regular season. Giannis has had an unbelievable season, averaged 28 points, 11 rebounds, 5.9 assists this season. But yeah, this is a tough first-round matchup, especially since the Heat sent them home in a gentleman's sweep in the Eastern Conference semifinals last year. Then they lost to the Raptors 4-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals year before that. And then they got bumped in the first round by the Celtics the year before that. So to Giannis's point, is it going to be different? They're going to have to change something.
I think it will. I really think Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker, those are classic.
They are a more talented team than they were last year.
And more physical. It's an older team. A little smarter team, a little more veteran team, less reliant on Chris Middleton to have to score 28 or we're ripping him. Like, Middleton now can go out and just be good. And that's
Far
what he
less
is.
Less pressure on Chris Middleton.
Yeah, he
now,
can be
yes.
a he can go be a good player, and that's what he is. He's a good player.
I still pick the Heat to win. So Tim Tebow has only been on the Jaguars for a day.
Oh, my God.
Fans are clearly excited about it. His merchandise is already in high demand. We're showing the video of him, gloves on, walking into a practice. The top five selling items on NFLShop.com this morning were all Tim Tebow items.
Do you know Tim Tebow? Now, see that news, Jacksonville, news for Jacksonville?
Yeah.
They put it over that video. Do you know why they did that?
Because everyone in the world is going to be showing that video everywhere.
Here's how big Tebow. They don't do that with Trevor Lawrence video. That Tebow to Jacksonville is so big that the news for in Jacksonville
has a watermark.
Has a watermark so that no other station can use it. They don't do that with Trevor Lawrence or Urban Meyer video. I told you, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs in Jacksonville. It's next to Florida, Gainesville. They literally put a watermark on their video, so you can't have that video. That's how valuable the news operation thinks. When's the last time you saw that over a burning building fire or a car chase or any sports video? That's what you do in that's like exclusive private investigation video. You put a watermark on the...
He's a huge deal in that part of the country. I obviously, the numbers speak for themselves. He's the top five selling items on NFLShop.com this morning are all Tim Tebow items. Yes, he has a huge fan base and he's a huge draw.
Oh.
He's just got to make the team. Listen, I know everyone thinks that we're hating. I'm not hating. All that Tim Tebow, specifically Tim, is doing is taking advantage of the opportunity that is given to him through his relationships.
Isn't it better for us if Tebow makes the team? Isn't it better for Joy Taylor and me?
Yeah, yes.
Of course.
Yes,
but selfishly, the NFL adding a game, it gives us another 7-10 days of football talk.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to agree with it. I don't think that it's the right football move. But I can't fake outrage. That's not my deal.
When's the last time, honestly, I'm outraged about once a year.
Really, it takes something very, it's like something disrespectful that really gets me outraged.
Yeah,
I got a lot of stuff to do.
My New York strip was 5 minutes late last night. I got very close. What a jerk. All right, George Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
That is
news.
So funny. All five Tebow items, 1 through 5, are the top sellers on NFL.com.
People like them some Tebow.
God, we are a Tebow chant away from a bad Trevor Lawrence series. Could be week 2.
Now, see, that I don't agree with. I don't think that the fans are going to flip on Trevor Lawrence. I think as soon as they see Trevor, it's going to be all right, he's our guy.
All right.
We have a bet on this.
Do we?
Yeah, I think we bet a Jersey Mike sandwich, right? Didn't we?
Yeah, what was the bet?
That there's no point. I'm saying that at no point are they going to call for Tim Tebow to play quarterback.
Oh, my God, I've won the bet already. You don't want to back out? I feel like I've won it already.
It has to be a legitimate news source that is discussing this.
I'm watching a legitimate news source put a watermark on Tebow video so nobody will steal him walking into practice.
I don't feel strong about the bet right now.
He's not even playing. Tim Tebow walking into practice. Put a watermark in the video. It's exclusive.
It's very smart.
It's a Team 4 investigation. All right, Rick Bucher. Fox Sports NBA analyst is now joining us live. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. God, the Tebow stuff gets me worked up. All right, so I said what I find interesting is for stars in the NBA, the regular season is rarely uncomfortable. And you can really, Boston is not going to make Brooklyn uncomfortable. They don't have the size, the juice. KD's going to do whatever he wants to do. But I do think that next series, you're going to face, Giannis rim protector. P.J. Tucker's annoying. Drew Holiday locks down Harden. And then we got some playoff ghosts between Blake and Nash and D'Antoni and Harden. I do think in crisis, this team's going to implode a little bit. Your thoughts on when it gets ugly for Brooklyn, Rick?
I would say not a little bit. And by the way, I am here for all of Joy's NBA love and her Colin sarcasm. Never has a woman been more aptly named Joy than Joy right now. I am here for all of it. Look, yeah, I know. I've said for a while, and this was even before we knew what the seeding was, that I saw the Nets as a second round and out team.
Yeah.
I just do not believe that you can get the gang together and play a couple games and then go through the mental pressure and have the acuity and the synchronicity that you need to be able to play in playoff situations. Steve Nash has never prepared a team for a playoff round. I'll be interested just to watch the Boston series. Not that I think that Boston is going to win, but I don't expect that that's going to be an easy series. And so what do you turn to? What do you do when things get tough? Yes, they have a multitude of options. We've seen other teams that have had a multitude of options. You got to sort out what you're going to do in the moment and when. And I still come back to this. I've been beating this drum all year long. But defense does matter. When we saw the Lakers and the Warriors, for all of the star power, for all of the ability that they have offensively, that came down to defense ultimately. Your defensive mistakes are what cost you. Simply Steph sinking, the switch, all of that is ultimately what resulted in LeBron James hitting a 32-footer. And so that is not something that the Nets have in their wheelhouse. And I'm right there with you. Talk about draws. I just do not see them getting past the Bucks or the Heat, whoever they meet in the second round.
It's interesting. We've all had a boss who's a yeller, a screamer, or intense. And you just walk into work and your shoulders are tight. It's just the way it is. It's unspoken. There's just an understanding. We've all had, you know, or when you're a kid, you've got a dad. Uh-oh, dad's going to blow a fuse. It changes the temperature in the room. We've all had a relationship like this. Ballmer is an explosive personality. Steve Ballmer, owner of the Clippers. He paid $2 billion for the franchise, $2 billion for the arena. And you got the Lakers in the same building. It's like, oh, their last 2 years, they've kind of run the league. And you've got a bunch of ex-Clippers. Tobias Harris and Doc Rivers could very likely end up in the finals. Chris Paul is flourishing. Blake Griffin's on the Nets. And I say to myself, it's one thing if the Clippers lose early. It's another if it's jammed into Ballmer's face on television for 6 weeks. Here's Doc and Tobias, and here's LeBron and the Lakers. There's a kabloom feeling to me if the Clippers don't, like, get to the finals. Or am I a little hyper on this? But Ballmer's not a patient guy, Rick.
Yeah, he's not. But if I look across the landscape, I mean, if you're suggesting that there's pressure that's coming from Ballmer, I don't see it. Does he want to win, and does he have the wherewithal to continue to change things? And would we potentially see some changes? Yes, but he has demonstrated for the most part that he's not a reactive guy. If he was, Doc might have been gone sooner. He might have reorganized what he had previously. And I also think it would be a mistake. I mean, number one, I'm colored by the fact that they're the Clippers. It's the one good thing about the Clipper being a Clipper is that no one really expects you to succeed. I mean, if they don't get it done, nobody is going to be shocked. They're going to say it's just the Clippers. And the reality is that if you look at their core with Kawhi and Paul George, they're 29 and 30 years old. Rajon Rondo is the oldest player on this team at 34. So could we potentially see a coaching change? I would say yes, except that Ballmer gave Doc a pretty long leash. And so I don't see it. And if I look across the board, I would still say that there's more pressure on the Lakers to get it done right now because of the age of LeBron and that team in general and where they are. And fair or otherwise, there's still a feeling out there that they need to validate the bubble championship. It's grossly unfair, but I feel like there's a sentiment out there that that's what LeBron really has to do. He hasn't really won a championship in a Lakers uniform. He needs another one in order to validate what he already did.
Well, you know, he's playing on one leg, according to reports. How he can barely get to the shower in the morning. Oh, Lord. I know. You rolled your eyes. I'm like, it's like, literally, I've watched Tiger Woods with a fractured fibula play at Torrey Pines. Yeah. Like, I watched that documentary. I'm like, LeBron, if I watched you against the last six games you played, it looked like two legs to me.
Right.
It's almost like he's setting himself up a little bit, right? Like, this is drama, right?
He always has. This is what distinguishes him among all the greats. I mean, and we've seen it with the memorial for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant going over to the bench. He's got a dislocated finger. He looks the other way. Gary Vitti pops it back into place, and he walks back out and continues playing and won't even talk about it. It's the distinction, and it's why it's so difficult to fully appreciate what LeBron does, because he always seems to be trying so hard to let us know how amazing he is. It's like, LeBron, we get it. We see it. Like, you don't have to amplify every single thing. I would not have been surprised if he had finished the game wearing an eye patch, or if he came out like in the next game doing something to dramatize. I mean, look, he has a production company. He's creating content. Clearly, that's a good lane for him because he's very good at it. But it's, I mean, Paul Pierce, we kind of put him in a different category. We lost some respect for him when he did the whole wheelchair thing. LeBron James is at another strata when it comes to great players. And they're players who do not, no matter what they're facing, don't want you to know that they're hurt. They don't want to admit or concede that they're vulnerable. LeBron always wants you to know what he's facing, every single little thing. And I think that's where people kind of give him the side eye and lose some appreciation for how great he is, because there's this, I don't know, we could get into Dr. Phil territory here about why, but he always seems to have this need that you need to know. I mean, it goes back to the Instagram post. Like, I need, can I get some love here for being, you know, one of the great scorers, but you say I'm a pass first guy? I feel as if at this point in LeBron's career, we should be past all that. And quite clearly we're not.
So finally, a couple minutes left here. You know, I watched Steph Curry. He was easily the best player on the floor against the Lakers, easily. His skill set will age beautifully. He's 33, he can shoot, he can ball handle, he's smart, he's self-aware. You know, I mean, you look at this roster in Golden State, it's expensive. Draymond, Wiggins, Clay, and they don't have any size. Wiseman's a weird fit. His timeline's not on with Steph. If Clay comes back and is good, not special, he's a free agent at the end of the year. Are we absolutely sure he's going to do a Bradley Beal, stay with his team forever, even if they're bad, even if they have no shot next year? I mean, I honestly feel like the Warriors are out of the championship conversation, even if Clay comes back and is solid. Is he just going to be Bradley Beal and stay there forever, or could he move in a year?
No, I don't see any way in which he moves. Steph Curry, for all of his greatness, is an amazingly normal human being. He loves being in the Bay Area. He's not going to uproot his family or make his career the focus of his life. Is he trying to be the best player that he can be? Is he trying to climb the ladder of great players? Absolutely. But it's a little bit like him playing last year with his hand still not right. Or playing this year and expending all the energy for what? Just to sneak this team into the playoffs potentially? Just to be first round fodder for the Utah Jazz? I mean, that adds nothing to his legacy. And he doesn't care, because all he wants to see is, I mean, he kind of looks at it like just a puzzle. Can I figure it out? What can I do with this thing? It's one of the things that I admire the most about him, is that he doesn't look at it in terms, for as great as he is and as confident as he is, the ego is in this very special place of, I don't need special catering. I don't need to be treated a certain way. And Joe Lacob, for all that he's done with the Warriors, if he ever found a way to tick Steph Curry off enough where Steph would say, I got to go someplace else, everything that Lake has done would go by the boards. He would be public enemy number one. There is a special bond between Steph and Draymond and Clay. And I dare say he wants to still go see what can they do together, and he'll go down fighting. And it's actually one of the dangers that the Warriors have. It reminds me a little bit of the Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, Dennis Johnson, where you can't break them up. They're a unit, and you're going to have to go down with them and then rebuild your way back up. And so that's coming. But I agree with you 1,000%. You know, the championship window for the Warriors has closed. But Steph Curry doesn't care. He's still going to try to see how close he can get to cracking that window back open.
Great. Bucher, Fox Sports. By the way, next hour, Chris Webber, also Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts. Bukes, good seeing you again, bud.
You got it, Colin.
By the way, I'll give you the exact time. Not only are there going to be Tebow quarterback chants in Jacksonville, I'll give you the exact time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app, skip the line now through May 23rd. Use the code THEHERD for $1 off your order. So Jacksonville is the one franchise that could be moved very easily in the NFL. They've got really no fan base. It's a college town, not a pro town. In fact, last year the Jaguars had combined, they had the smallest social media following of all the NFL teams by a mile. If you combine their Facebook, their Instagram, their Twitter, 1.8 million combined. Tebow's got 4.5 million just on Twitter. I have a significantly larger social media following than an NFL team in Jacksonville. They've got no fan base. And Jacksonville's a college town, and Tebow's the last hero Jacksonville had. He showed up yesterday for a practice, and they put marks on the video, the kind of video you do when you get an exclusive of a president, a head of state coming into town, and you're the only local station there that has it. News 4 in Jacksonville put a watermark on their video. Trevor Lawrence walked in. If he did, nobody did it. Urban Meyer, assistant coaches, other star player. It doesn't matter. Top five selling items on NFL.com this morning are all Tebow items. And why is that big? Because nobody buys anything from Jacksonville. Jacksonville doesn't sell anything ever, not top 100. Now they have the top five. And I have friends who had worked for the Broncos. They said you couldn't even explain the Tebow popularity in Denver. And Denver's like a winning organization, has a history of winning. They know what winning football looks like. Now you go to a college, and in Denver, Denver doesn't care about college football. It's a pro football town. This is a college football town. Tebow's the biggest star in college football history. The closest college football power is Jacksonville. That's why I've said before, don't kid yourself on this. If Trevor Lawrence struggles, you watch what happens. It's hard to explain irrational. And there's a very interesting 5-6 game stretch for Jacksonville. I want you to look at this. It starts October 10th. They face 5 straight winning teams. Titans, Dolphins, at Seattle against the Hawks, Buffalo, Colts. And then they follow it with the Niners, who 2 years ago were in the Super Bowl. They're going to go 0-5 in that stretch, 1-5. It's nothing against Urban or Trevor Lawrence. They just don't have the personnel. And they don't have the offensive line. Those are some nasty pass rushes, some great defenses. Those Tebow chants, you watch by that week Week 9, Buffalo, Colts game. You watch the Tebow chants. It's going to be crazy town in Jacksonville. Listen, it's nothing against, this is why I said, you can't explain irrational. You can't. Like the Tebow stuff, it's really funny about it. Like Denver went crazy over Tebow. Nobody in Denver watches college football. I get the ratings for college football. It's not, Denver's not a college football town at all. Boulder is close, and that's a marginally intense college football town. So if you don't think it's going to be big in Jacksonville, which more than any NFL franchise city is a college football city. I mean, Lambeau's small, but that's a Packer town. New Orleans has LSU around the corner. That is a Saints town. Denver went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And people out west don't care, you know, about Florida Gator football. When you combine his iconic stature, his faith-based following, a losing franchise, it is going to be. Can you believe that? NFLshop.com, Tebow, top five items.
That's why I'm here for the chaos.
Crazy. It really is crazy.
I hope that you're wrong. You're probably not, but.
I'm not anti-Tebow. I'm pro-sanity.
So we're very pro-sanity.
Chris Weber around the corner. Baker Mayfield, interesting compliment from his boss. Next.